lest you wonder about power with man, power with thee. That's scriptural. That's the Lord told that to Jacob when he wrestled with Jacob in Genesis 32. He called his name Israel, as a prince hast thou power with God and with men. That's what he said. That, in other words, Jacob would not let him go. He would not quit asking to be blessed. That's the power we want, isn't it? Importunity. The will, the want to, the desire to keep calling, to keep praying until he answers us, one way or another. And then constant abiding. This is my plea. Our Lord said that. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's a very scriptural song. I hope you enjoyed it. All right, Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. I read a devotional book that Brother Mike Walker gave me. That's a book I greatly cherish. I read it all the time, by William Jay. And I tell Mike that all the time, how much I appreciate it. He does too. I'd like to put every article in our bulletin. But he had a morning devotional on these verses, praying always. And so I began to look at it and prepare a message. And I had forgotten that we just looked at this 2 months ago. Yes, it's all right. We need to look at this daily. All right, look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of anxious care. Overcome with care, worry, doubt. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And, if so, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts from this care, from this anxiousness, this worrying, despair, and minds through Christ Jesus. That is, prayer is not a thing. Prayer is not a thing like a rabbit's foot. People talk about prayer as like it's some magical thing, like it's some mantra that, like the Hindus, if you just keep doing it, it's bound to work. No. We're going to see what prayer really is. And he says here, there's peace to be had by prayer. Prayer is a vital subject. Vital. There's so many books written on prayer. So much in the scripture that speaks of prayer. Vital. The word vital means pertaining to life. Prayer is the breath of life. Prayer is the breath of life. Proof of life. When our Lord created Adam, he was a dead, lifeless clay, vessel of clay. And you know what the Lord did? Yeah, he breathed into him, and he became a living soul. What did Adam do? I know what he did. Hello, Lord. He spoke to him. He communed with him, didn't he? And he did from then on until he sinned. And when the Lord revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus, Saul was dead in sin. Saul was dead in religion. He was in dead religion, dead work. He was under the law. He was in dead legalism, wasn't he? He didn't know God. But when Christ revealed himself, Paul said, in me. Then the Lord sent word to Ananias, go to the house of one Saul. Behold, he prayeth. As a Pharisee, he probably prayed a lot. He's just going through the motions like the Pharisees. Our Lord said, pray to be seen of men. But God never heard one of his prayers. But doesn't he now? He hears all of them. And he's the one, Paul said, pray. The Lord himself told us to pray without ceasing. Always. Men ought always to pray. Always. Always.
And God's people do. Our Lord said, we just read, He said, when you pray. When you pray. God's people do. If life is there, they're going to call on their Lord, aren't they? And keep calling. Like a babe cries to its mother, like a child to its father, like a wife speaks to her husband and talks to her husband and tells him everything. That's what He said, everything. We could also entitle this message, A Cure for Care. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Now, I do not want to merely instruct us on prayer. This is not a how-to. In fact, Romans 8, we quoted that. Most of the time, we don't know how to pray. I mean, we can read all we want to, and man can tell us how to, and the Lord. But I find myself, and I know you do, in prayer. So bound, so distracted, so this, so that, until about all I can say is help. You? Anybody? That all I can say is, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us all. Doesn't need to be a long prayer. And I say that all day long. Don't you? And I didn't mean to say that to draw attention to myself, but I know you do. I know you do. When do you pray? God's people do pray. They do pray. But the disciples asked Him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples. I would like to hear what John said about prayer, wouldn't you? But it's not written. But what the Lord wrote is there. He said in everything, it says here, in everything by prayer. He said, pray without ceasing. He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And He gave us that parable of a man, a mere man is going to open to his friend if he keeps asking him enough. All right, what is prayer? Two points here, very simply. What is prayer and the effects of prayer? What is prayer? Look at Psalm 62 with me. Psalm 62. As I said, it's not a how-to per se, but just an exhortation and encouragement to pray. We need to, don't we? We do pray, but we don't pray enough. And James corrected us. He said, when we do ask, we ask for the wrong thing. What is prayer? Well, it's calling on God. That's what it is. It's calling on God. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Is that a one-time thing? Brethren, don't you need saving every day, every hour, from 1,000 things? Huh? Temptations, troubles, doubts, fears. Just keep going. We need saving from the world. Whosoever shall call. When our Lord said ask, He said whosoever asketh. That's ongoing in it. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Never quit asking. Because there'll never be a time we don't need. Every hour of every day. Ask. Seek. Ask. What did He tell us to ask for? When He taught us to pray, what did He tell us to ask for? Give us our bread. What bread? We need this bread more than anything else. To go in the strength of this. We can do without. Most of us have eaten too much of the other bread. And not enough of this. We've got fatness of body and leanness of soul. All of us, don't we? He said, give us. Pray this way. Give us. And He said, ask this. Forgive us. Oh, we need forgiveness of sin, don't we? Huh? Forgive us. Lead us not. Us. Notice how He's telling, lead us. Pray for one another. We're in this thing together. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. You notice it's not material things there. Spiritual things. And it's your kingdom. It's up to you, He said, to pray. Save us, Lord. Save us or we perish. And everything by prayer. Everything. Nothing's too small. All right, what does that say? It's calling on the Lord. Look at Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. That's prayer, isn't it? You can't tell the heart what to say. You don't need to. Pour out your heart. It's calling on the Lord. Prayer is communing with the Lord, talking to, pouring out your heart unto the Lord, confiding in the Lord, confessing. So many things. Why do you love the Psalms so much? Why do we love the Psalms so much? Because they're prayer after prayer after prayer. All right, look at Psalm 63. The next Psalm. Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land. Can you say that? Where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I've seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life. Is it to you? Is this better than life? I meant to give you this illustration Sunday. Mindy and I were sitting on the beach, you know, for a couple of weeks and soaking up the sun and that beautiful aqua water, you know, and we might get up, we might not. Take a little walk and come back and sit down and have a little picnic lunch on the beach, and then that evening we'd go out and eat fish. And I confess that after a while I sat there and thought, man, this is the life. All right, we left there, and we drove a long way to a little town called Sylacauga, Alabama. Drove out in the country, Talladega Highway, and there's a little brown building way off the end of the side of the road that nobody can hardly see. Not a beautiful building, just a little plain building. We went in there, we sat down in a pew, started singing those hymns. Man got up to preach. I said, no, this is life. This is living. Can you say that? Oh, Thy loving kindness is better than life. So he called on the Lord. Lord, and that we all call on the Lord. Psalm 42, look at this. Psalm 42, and this is a favorite of mine. A dear lady was dying, and I sent her this psalm, reminded her of this psalm anyway. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. They continually say unto me, where is thy God? And when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. The voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept hold of that. Prayer is calling, crying unto the Lord, communing with our Lord. Prayer is the soul's cry. David said, I pour out my soul. Prayer is the heart's cry unto our Lord and our God and our Father. Prayer is from the heart. Prayer is better, someone said, better to have a heart without words than words without heart. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, let me tell you a few things that prayer is not. Okay? Before I tell you what it is. Prayer is not a position. Prayer is not a posture. A certain posture. You don't have to be in a certain posture to pray. You don't have to have your head bowed and your eyes closed. You couldn't pray without ceasing like that, could you? Prayer is an attitude. Prayer is the heart calling unto God at all times. The mind thinking. And God reads our thoughts. God looks on the heart. We can and do and should pray always at all times in all places from the heart. In everything. However, that being said, Scripture does, we often find godly men and women on their knees. And you can relate to that. It's not a show of humility. I went someplace to preach with some men.
some Reformed fellas. And one fella, he did it every time, 4 or 5 years running. Before he preached, he would drop down on his knees behind the pulpit. It was a show. And it made me sick. That's not why we get on our knees, and we do it in private. Our Lord told us in Matthew 6, when you pray, get in your closet. Don't be like the Pharisees who love to stand on the corners and in the synagogue. They want people to hear them pray. They want to be seen praying. Don't, our Lord implicitly said, don't do that. That's their reward. Your reward is to be heard. You want to be heard. Your Father, which seeth in secret, heareth you. We do. We get on our knees before God. Do you? We should. I told a family one time that was going through some trouble, some real serious trouble. I told them, all of you, get on your knees. Get on your knees before God and call on the Lord. That's not out of fashion. It's not a show of humility. It's a heart so broken, so poor and needy, you can't stand. Solomon did it at the prayer of the temple. What a serious thing it was. The man whose son was a lunatic, he came and fell on his face before the Lord. Have you ever been so down, so low, so distraught, so full of care, that you literally had to fall on your face on the floor? Huh? Sure you have. And you felt like, I can't get low enough. Our Lord said it in the song. He said, my soul melteth for heaviness. Our Lord did when he went in to pray for us. He fell on his face. Daniel, 3 times a day, kneeled down and pray. And oh, did he pray. Daniel's prayer in chapter 9 is, we need to read that all the time. Let it be our prayer. Ah, boy. But it's not a posture. I started out by saying that. It's not a position, because we can pray. But listen to this psalm. It says, oh, come, Psalm 95, 6, oh, come, and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Why do we close our eyes when we pray? It doesn't tell us to do that. Why do we do that? Because of the distractions. Right? Because of the distraction. And why do we bow our head? Well, it's not a show. It's a shame. The publican in the temple, Pharisee, looked up. He wanted everybody to see him looking up. He thanked God for what he was and was not. The publican, so ashamed, he wouldn't lift his eyes. But all he could do is hang his head and close his eyes. I'm just quite sure the woman caught in the act of adultery was on her knees before the Lord with her head bowed and her eyes closed, hoping, praying for mercy. Don't you? Did she get it? Oh, those that be bowed down, he will lift up. Prayer is not a recitation. Go to Matthew chapter 6 that I quoted to you. Prayer is not reciting words. Reciting words. I know, brethren, how difficult it is to pray in public. No, none of us want to do it. Do we? And we pray the same things, don't we? We say the same things. I do. The Lord knows that. And the brethren know that. But we're not just reciting things, are we? We pray the same things, don't we, Brother Stephen? What do we pray for? Lord, bless the preacher. Lord, bless us. Lord, thank you for this play. That's a good sign that this is the one thing needful. If you keep praying for the same things, it's a good sign that's the one thing you need, isn't it? Isn't that importunate prayer? You keep praying the same thing?
But it's not a recitation or reciting words. Catholics do that. Number one, they pray the wrong person. And they pray or reciting prayers, and God doesn't hear any of those. Prayer is not, look at this, Matthew 6, verse 7. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. And they think they should be heard for their much speaking. Prayer is not repetitious. You don't need, you know, and prayer is not many words, wordy. We're not heard for what we say necessarily or how much we say, but we're heard for whose name we pray in. And it was from the heart. Sincerity. Unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Not like the hypocrite. Now, here's prayer. Prayer is, as we said, calling, crying unto the Lord, communing with the Lord, confession. Forgive us. Forgive us. Oh my. Forgive us. Don't we need more than anything forgiveness of sin? Will he? Does he? Has he? Yes, he will. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. What sins? Our Lord said, all manner of sin. Isn't that good news? All manner of sins. Our past sins have been forgiven through the blood of Christ. Our present sins are forgiven. The fact that we have a hard time worshiping right now needs to be forgiven. And our future sin, what we're going to commit, no telling. Forgiven. Already forgiven. Isn't that good news? Boy. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. He that confesseth and for a second. Prayer is confession. Prayer is, listen to this confession. David was feeling envious at the foolish. I guess he was feeling covetous. He was feeling bitter. Where is Psalms? It's right in Job. Oh, there it is. All right. David was feeling all these things. And he came into the house of the Lord, the tabernacle of the Lord. And his heart was smitten, and he cried unto the Lord, and he said, Lord, my heart was grieved, I pricked in my reins, so foolish was I, as ignorant, I was like a beast. How could I be so foolish? Forgive me. And he went on to say, I don't need any of that the wicked have, and the world has. He said, I'm continually with thee. You're holding me by your right hand, and you will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me up to glory. For whom have I in heaven but thee, and who do I desire on earth beside thee? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my portion. Don't you love the song? Prayer after prayer. Prayer is confession. Prayer is by faith in Christ. Keep saying that. In Christ. In Christ, pleading His blood and His righteousness. And that's not a recitation and a mere repetition. Not name dropping. We really do plead, cry, Lord, forgive me for Christ's sake. Don't we? We know. God's holy. God will by no means clear the guilty. And we're guilty. And we know that there's only one way we can approach this holy God, through Christ. He's our advocate. Remember the message on the advocate? Lord, plead with us. Plead for the Father with us. And we call upon Him in Christ's name. And He said, the Father, hear you. If you love me, He loves you. You'll never see Him. You'll never see God. You see me, Christ said. You've seen the Father. I go to the Father for you. I go to my Father and your Father. Call Him Father because of me. I told you this, and I'm going to tell you again. Maybe somebody hadn't heard it. I was sitting in my study one time. This was years ago. And it may have been during a conference or something. But I was sitting there alone at the desk. The door was open. And this was when Hannah was pretty young. Very young girl.
And I kept hearing this voice say, Hannah, Hannah. And I thought somebody's hollering for Hannah. And I kept looking down. He said, Hannah, Hannah. And I looked up. And there was a little boy hollering at me. He didn't know my name. But he knew I was Hannah's dad. And he wanted my attention. And he said, Hannah, Hannah, I know your daughter. I need something.
Boy, I jumped up. That name, you know what that name means to me? A lot.
You know what the name of Jesus Christ means to his Father? Everything. And all those who call upon him in sincerity and in truth. What's truth? Christ. He'll hear you. He loves that name. He loves his Son and those that love him. So it's faith in Christ. And prayer is worship. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, hallowed. If we never got past that, it'd be all right. Holy, holy, holy. Hallowed be thy name. Worship. Request. In our text, he said here, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Philippians 4. I didn't mark my Bible. Philippians 4. It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication means asking for supplies. With thanksgiving. Do not forget to be thankful, to thank the Lord for what you're asking for. But he says, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer is indeed asking or requesting. And he tells us we can ask for anything. Didn't he? In everything. Ask. He tells us only what we ask for in his will be answered. But we can tell him anything. Can't your children come to you with anything? Huh? Can't they? Anything? You might not necessarily give them everything they ask for, knowing that it might not be good for them. Our Lord certainly knows better than we do. But ask. Anyway, request. Give us. Forgive us. As I said, lead us. Deliver us. Mainly, chiefly, those things. In everything, whatever's on your mind, ask. If it's needful, he'll give it to you. If not, he won't. Everything, small and large. Everything. In everything. And before everything. Before the day. Don't take a step. Because it'll be wrong. Won't it? Don't think a thought. Try not to think a thought because it'll be sinful. It'll be covetous. It'll be selfish. Won't it? But if you pray in the spirit that Christ told us, it won't be. Let this mind be in you. Christ prayed always, didn't he? He prayed always. What did he pray for? I know what he prayed for. We have several examples of what he prayed for. He prayed for God's glory. Father, one time he's walking along and he couldn't help himself. Father, glorify thy name. And it thundered. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. He'll honor that. Father, keep the men which thou hast given me. Pray for others. The Lord will answer that prayer. Yes, he will. Father, if it be possible, we have a cup to drink, don't we? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Can you say that? Oh, no. There's some deep things we go through and we ask the Lord, Lord, please. Lord, please heal. Lord, please save. Lord, please. I'm begging you. And we keep praying. And we keep praying. And he might give it and he might not. Can we say? Can you say? Not my will, but thy will. Oh, my. Well, there's peace. There's peace there, okay? That if it's his will,
He's going to give it. If it's His will, He's going to heal. If it's His will, He's going to save. If it's His will, He's going to give. If it's His will, if it's not His will, you don't want it. For whatever, I mean, and we're going to know. Someday we're going to know as we've been known. And we're going to thank Him. Lord, thank You for not giving me what I asked for. We don't know all of the workings of our Lord. I'll say this again. I'm going to say it again, what Brother Scott said, you know. Oh, I love it, that old man. He went through trials just like Job. Lost his health, lost his family. He said, if you knew what God knows, you would order your life exactly like He ordered it. Here's peace. You would order your life exactly like He ordered it. You wouldn't change a thing. Couldn't think of that. Be not full of anxious care, He said. How can we not be full of care? All of us are. All of us get that way. We're so full of... when you care for people, when you love people, when you're concerned for people, especially those that don't know the Lord, your children, whoever it may be, when you care for them, it fills you full of care. How can we not be so full of care to where the point where we're so distraught and in despair? He said, cast all your care. We're talking how? How do you cast all your care upon the Lord? Prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer. You unburden. Prayer is an unburdening. Prayer is getting... You ever have to get something off your chest? Well, we have these weight that, on us of worry and troubles and stuff. The Scripture says, casting all your care upon the Lord. Why? Go ahead and say, for He careth for thee. He careth for thee. Says here in our text, verse 7, the peace of God passeth all understanding. The trials we go through, and they pass. This too shall pass. During the trial, we think it's never going to pass. We think, I'm not going to get through this. Don't you? No, we do. Don't we? This too shall pass. No matter what it is, it shall pass. And it passes all understanding. I don't know how I got through that. Yes, I did. The grace of God. The grace of God. The goodness of God. Passeth all understanding. Shall keep your heart. This peace of God, our Lord. Now, this peace. Oh my, let me say this. Our Lord Jesus Christ made peace for us through the blood of His cross. God is not, brethren, we're sinners. You read with me, He said, you being evil, know how to give good. We still got this old man in us. We still act wickedly. We act sinful. But God is not angry with that. God is not angry with His people. God is not, does not, shall not punish His people for their sins. He punished Christ. Get that in your head. Let it go deeper than that. Get that in your heart. Know this for your peace. Because we often think God's doing this to me. He's punishing me. No. God doesn't punish His people. He chastens, He corrects, He instructs. And He does it tenderly with love and care and kindness and mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sin. Did I say that? He dealt with Christ. And Christ said, peace I leave with you. Didn't it? Let not your heart be troubled. Peter, He just told Peter, you're going to deny me. And He told all the disciples, all of you are going to forsake me. And then the next words out of His mouth were, let not your heart be troubled. You hear that? Let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. Who? Simon Peter, the denier of the Lord. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He shall not forsake his people ever. He said, I give unto them eternal life. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Brethren, if you haven't read the book of Jeremiah lately, start reading, okay? Oh, my. And read just as fast as you can till you get to chapters 29, 30, 31. I can't. Oh, my. You see, the Lord, our Lord loves His people. He loves us better than we love ourselves. He loves us better than we love our own. And He absolutely knows what's best. He only does what is good for us. He really does have everything and every one of us, everything concerning us in His heart, on His mind, and in His hands. He really does. Now, He's the one caring for you. So don't be full of anxious care. Cast all those cares upon Him. He really, really does. Look at Jeremiah 29. Verse 11. You have it? You'll want to mark this so you can remember it. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, a good end. There may be trouble, and there is, lots of it, but it's going to end real good. It's going to end so good that the former troubles shall not be remembered or come to mind, no matter how bad. Look at the next line. Then ye shall call upon me, and you go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Who's he talking to? Well, read the previous verses. I mean a bunch of... He said, my people are bent to backsliding. Didn't it? All of them. But God. He said, I'm going to heal their backs. Look at Hosea. I'm going to quit with this. Hosea. One of the brethren wants me to preach through that. And I remind him, I just did. You remember the story of Ephraim? Had began with Hosea chapter 14. Had began with, in the beginning, Ephraim said, Leave him alone. He's got his idols. He never gives me a thought. Just leave him alone. And all his dealings and on goes through there. It says that I've heard him bemoaning himself. And then finally he says, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Can't do it. Can't give you up. Look at Hosea 14 in closing, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. There is no anger. Let this word of Christ, of God, dwell in you richly. Okay? And praying always, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests, whatever they may be, known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, you have His word, shall keep your minds and hearts through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the fowls steal this away. Okay? Talk about these things. Remember these things. All right, let's stand with them. I was going to sing a hymn, but let's pray again. Lord, thank you. And this is truly our heart's desire and prayer that you would heal us and forgive us. You sent your word to the children of Israel, it says, and healed them. And oh, we are blind, halt, lame, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And often feel dead. Oh, Lord, quicken us according to your word. Open our blind eyes, our deaf ears. Loosen our tongues. We give thanks and not murmuring and complaining. This is our prayer. This is our heart's cry in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us
what we need. Forgive us our sins. Bless us for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.